Martha, why did you do what you did?
Don't like dirt.
Don't like dirt. Get that house clean. What else? Habit. Okay. What else? Somebody's got to prepare the meal if people are going to eat, right? It's not going to get prepared by itself. A desire to have your home and your guests well cared for. Chores need to get done, right? Somebody's got to do them, right? Radical hospitality, right? To be hospitable, some things have to happen. That's part of it. Tradition. Mom did it. Grandma did it. Great grandma did it. It's what we do in our household. You what now? I knew my place. Oh, okay. Not to do this. Okay, we're gonna let that one sit. You guys, we're not gonna go down that road. I don't even want to repeat that for anybody who's over here. You guys can work that out later. Okay, Mary, you just sat there. Well, you didn't just sit there. You sat at Jesus' feet. Why did you do what you did, Mary? Martha's a better cook anyway. I think everybody who came through the line said, well, I knew she was going to do it. Why would I bother? Because she's going to take care of it anyway. Martha is a better cook. I like that. What else? I did it yesterday. It was Martha's turn. There's always food and cleaning. Jesus just, in this case, just maybe comes once. It isn't very long. What? Well, see, now we're getting in dangerous territory. She was mesmerized. Yes, he said, whatever I do, I probably wouldn't do it right anyway. I won't go autobiographical on this one. I think I'm just going to leave that one alone. Hospitality is also paying attention to your guests. So it's not just the cleaning and the cooking. It's also conversation. Yeah. I want to hear what Jesus said. Yeah. Okay. Thank you for that. Great answers. This is a great story, and inevitably, I think it's like it's either or, one or the other. Most church people would much rather have Martha on their team or their committee than Mary. Martha gets things done. Martha makes things happen. Mary simply listens, at least as far as we know. This is just the beginning of the story. Okay, here's one painting of what they might have looked like. There's Mary listening intently and Martha coming with the food. So a couple things about this story. Now, as they went on their way, they entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed her into her home. Now, this is a pretty unusual sentence in that Martha welcomed her into her home. In those days, homes were identified by the males. And if Martha had a spouse, it would have been his home. If Lazarus is their brother. We learned that in John's gospel. If Lazarus was the older brother, it would have been his house. But it's Martha's house. So she's the head of the household, which is a pretty unusual place for a woman to be in this culture. And yet she is identified. So there's a little even extra pressure on Martha to provide excellent, radical, wonderful hospitality to her guests, especially as guests as significant as Jesus. Now, the next verse also has something that would be very unusual to hear, much like last Sunday's gospel story about the Samaritan came to help. Mary sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. So who sat at a teacher's feet usually? Pardon? Men. Men were disciples. Men were the learners. Men were the students. Paul talks about in the book of Acts about the teacher Gamaliel, I think, sat at his feet. That's how you talk about learning from your mentor and teacher. So for a woman, for Mary to sit at Jesus' feet, for Mary to step into the role of a disciple, Jesus doesn't chase her away, but allows her to. This is a very, I don't know, maybe scandalous is strong, but an unusual thing to have happen. So there's a couple of different things going on. These are two very unusual women. that we meet the gospel for today. And you've already heard what happened. Mary has got so much to do. There's things to clean. You got to set the table. Everything's got to be just so. Food's got to get prepped and cooked and served. And there sits Mary at Jesus' feet. Lord, do you not care that these things are not getting done? This is what hospitality is. Again, I won't call anybody out. The first service said, you know, there's a difference between excessive hospitality and hospitality. And in my household, we disagree on those terms. What was Martha's maybe excessive hospitality was Mary's maybe excessive was Martha's. This is what we need to do for this important guest, right? Tell her to help me. Jesus, get her off her seat. Her place is. I read a commentary by a Palestinian woman, Palestinian Christian woman, who also is one of our ELCA pastors. She serves in Wisconsin. So she was born in Bethlehem, Palestine. And so she writes her commentary. It's wonderful to hear. She writes her commentary as a woman who's grown up in a Palestinian culture. And she said in the first century, as is the case in the 21st century, it's still the case that the women provide the hospitality. The women don't join the men until the meal has been served, until everything's been prepped. So she said, even now, what Mary does would be really out of the ordinary, would be really unusual. It's just expected. It's tradition. That's what happened. So Martha's got a legitimate complaint that Mary's not helping. And she must have thought, as I said when I was growing up, yep, Jesus is going to come to her side and say, Mary, get in the kitchen. But Jesus, of course, doesn't say that. Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Now, sometimes we hear this text, maybe it's been preached as a criticism of Martha. You know, she's missing the mark here. She should be sitting talking to Jesus. She's running around, you know, straightening tablecloths, making sure the silverware, the water, everything's set. And it's not, I don't hear Jesus as criticizing Martha as much as Jesus is caring for Martha here. I hope you can hear that in his words. Martha, you are so worried and you're so and I like it in the children's Bible, it said, you know, thank you, Martha, for your care, for your hospitality. Thank you for all you're doing. But because you're so caught up in the details of this kind of hospitality, you're missing the other part of you're missing what I have to say. And by missing what I have to say, you're missing the important thing, the better part, the one thing, that which cannot be taken away from you. The details of prepping and serving, they are important. But what I have to say to you, you will take with you. You will be formed in spirit in that way. It's important to read this text, I think, alongside of Acts 6, because this is not just about Mary and Martha. This is about the church. So at the beginning of Acts 6, the church has done, the disciples have done such great work that the church is growing, and it's growing rapidly. And the Greeks, Gentiles, who are looking upon what's happened are noticing that some of the widows in the community are not being cared for. And so at the beginning of Acts 6, Luke wrote Acts and Luke, the book of Luke. Now, during those days when the disciples were increasing in number because of the proclamation of the word, the Hellenists, the Greeks, complained against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected. Service things were not happening. And so they called a congregational meeting. The 12 disciples got the body of believers together. We've been criticized, and rightly, for not taking care of some in our community who have needs. We don't think it is not right that we should neglect the word of God in order to wait on tables. Now, it's not saying something negative about waiting on tables. It's saying that we can't do both. We need to continue to help people hear what Jesus had to say, to hear the gospel. But we also need to take care of these people who have needs. So therefore, friends, Acts 6, verse 3, therefore, friends, select from among yourselves 7 men of good standing, and initially that was men, full of the Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint to this task, while we, for our part, will continue to devote ourselves to prayer and the serving word. We need to do both. We need both halves of the we need Martha's and we need Mary's. We need both halves of the congregation to do the work that God has given us to do. One of those deacons, those in the ministry of diaconia service, was Stephen, who also proclaimed the word, and Philip, who baptized the Ethiopian eunuch. They went on to share that. So, but it starts with the word and moves into the ministry of service. Both and. However, priority should be given to listening to the word of God, to taking time out, to sitting down. It consists in not wishing to precede the Lord, in accepting to be served before serving. We have to receive before we can give. I think I've used the term, you have to put on your own oxygen mask first, right? And then you can put the oxygen mask on the other one, whoever else is in. You have to be fed so that you can feed. Many years ago now, when I was just starting out in ministry, I heard about a church in the Twin Cities, a suburb of the cities, with a pastor who was a family friend. My uncle, the pastor, and I don't know if Roger was a classmate or somehow he knew him well. And St. Andrews was doing all kinds of marvelous things. It was getting quite a reputation, not only for numerical growth, but some great ministry. So I sat down with Pastor Roger and said, tell me about your story. Well, Matamidi was one of those little small farming towns on the edge of the cities like Rosemount, where I went to school. At one point in time, they were way out, and then the cities kind of, you know, began to swallow up those communities. So I'm hearing such great things about St. Andrews. Tell me your story. And for a lot of years, it was just a small town church. And I fully expected, well, it was contemporary worship. That was the spark, you know. Or it was, we have programs for children, youth, families, children of all ages. Or it was, we're doing all kinds of outreach, which St. Andrews was doing many of those things. But you know what? It really was. In the beginning, when we gathered some leaders together, we had a group of people who went through the Bethel Bible study. Some of you know Bethel. It's an old study now. It goes way back. But very intense. And it took a large commitment. He goes, we had a group of people who were faithful to dig into the word, to listen to Jesus. He didn't use that term. To sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to Jesus. And he goes, that was the catalyst. That was the foundation. Then, and from that point on, things began to happen. But people understood from the beginning why we were doing what we felt called to do. It's because Jesus called us, the Spirit called us together to make things happen. In other words, first things first, sitting at Jesus' feet, then providing hospitality. It's a both and, it's not an either or. So Jesus doesn't ask Martha to, she's not criticizing him for the ministry of diaconia, but he wants to relieve Martha from this burden she feels to do it all her own, and that it's the thing that has to happen to make everything right. Come and sit with me, Martha. Sit beside your sister. Learn from me. Rest. Be renewed and refreshed. And then together we get up and do the work we're called to do. Both are necessary. We are all called to listening and to serving, to learn and to do. Amen.